Chapter 7, please. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Trust that you have a Bible because you will need it this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 7. All right, let's all stand, please. We're going to read a passage from 1 Samuel 7. Tonight I will be dealing again with Mark chapter 7 from last Sunday night. And by next week I might even switch back to the way I'm supposed to be doing, which is Mark in the morning and 1 Samuel at night. I am going to speak on one verse this morning. We're going to touch on a lot of things. When you leave here this morning, when you walk out the door, if you're a Christian, and just assuming that, I want you to know, look at me, how to do one thing. Emphasis on how to do one thing. And then I want you to start doing it. Because in the doing of this, will make unbelievable differences in one's Christianity. Very simple premise. So we're going to read more verses so you get the flow of what's going on, but we're going to focus on one idea, how we do that. No one ever taught me how to do this. Probably read a sermon or two about ideas like this. This morning's sermon is Ebenezer, Stones Along the Road of Life. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were greatly confident. The Philistines had been beating them in battle for over 20 years. They had been hiding out in the hills to escape them. They were afraid. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. By the way, that's playing off of Samuel's name, heard of the Lord. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer. That's not a hard word, by the way. That word is found. Eben and Ezer is found twice in this text. Eben is the Hebrew word for stone. It's already in the text. He took a stone and he called this Ebenezer. And what's the last part of the verse say? He said, "Hitherto hath the Lord," what? Ezer is the normal Hebrew word for help. He took a stone, and by the way, the whole sermon is going to lead to this. Remember, this is not a sermon about ideas. That was Sunday school teaching. Tonight will be very much philosophical about a very specific issue. This morning, when you leave here, you must understand how to take a stone, doesn't have to be a stone, to name that stone and to invest meaning in that stone, which helps you move forward as opposed to moving backward. Look what it says. Read the verse with me again. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us to this point in time," or to this place. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Stones along the road of life. Ebenezer. Father, I ask your help to say what this text says, because I'll need your help this morning to change even as a Christian, seems to be impossible, we tend to fall back to the default position. If we're depressed, we stay depressed. If we're negative, we stay negative. If we fail, we stay failures. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to do a work in our hearts this morning where we will understand how to take some stones. And when the life gets tough and the battles start again, we will have those stones of help in the path of life. And they will be that which propels us onward and forward and higher. Help me this morning in this simple message, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Everything I'm going to preach this morning is 5 points. Everything's the last point. So if you're one of those people that prefers to sleep, sleep now, wake up at the 5th point. Okay? Because everything kind of is going someplace, very simple and very logical. Invariably, this happens. You go to visit someone in need, someone hurting, someone who is struggling, and when you get there, you tend to be more blessed by them than they are by you. This very thing happened twice this week that I know of. It happened to me, my wife, and Dr. Bowder and his wife. It also happened to Dr. Moritz and his wife in another setting I'll talk about later. Monday, Jenny and I drove from here to meet Dr. Bowder, Kevin Bowder, and his wife in the big town of Glidden, Wisconsin. I don't know where Glidden is. It's 350 miles from our house there. Basically, you drive far out into the woods till you know you're lost, and you drive for a couple more hours. You end up in the middle of nothing but nothing. That's where you're at. We got there on Monday night. We had a nice time, had a meal, had a nice conversation. And then we started saying, well, we only had Tuesday together. Wednesday, they were going to leave around noon. So we had one day together, and Kevin said, what do you want to do? We talked. We had two big options. We could have come back east towards the UP and visited some beautiful sites. There's a lot of waterfalls up there. The second option was to go to Duluth. Over Duluth direction, see Duluth, which I've seen, Jenny hadn't seen. And if we did that, we could see Pastor Chuck Ells and his wife. Well, we talked a little bit, but I said, I don't think there's really a choice. And we kind of decided we needed to go to Duluth so we could visit Chuck and Shelley. Now, most of you know Chuck Ells used to be a member of this church. He's been pastoring up in that area for 13 or so years, 14 years. Pastored in Michigan for 4 years or 5 years. And most of you know that Shelley Ells, in October of last year, developed fungal meningitis. I don't know how she developed it, but she did. She was not immunosuppressed, so something happened to her. She developed fungal meningitis. She then had a stroke at age 55, 56. She was paralyzed pretty much over her entire body. Chuck, when we were up there, Jenny, I think you saw it, did this. She was paralyzed over everything but this. She could use her right arm a little bit. Her neck up was okay. Everything else was paralyzed. Pastor's wife, good lady, done nothing wrong, paralyzed. Chuck called me, and I found out about this the day it happened. I'm in the Philippines. I'm over in Manila. I'm teaching pastors, and he calls me and says, Ralph Shelley's had a stroke. He said, and he's crying. He says, will you pray? Because it doesn't appear like she's going to make it. Well, anyhow, I'm going to tell the story forward. This week, on Tuesday, we get up reasonably early, and I call Chuck, and I say, Chuck, would it be all right if Jenny and I and Dr. Bowder and his wife came by and visited? And his first response was, love to have you. How long is it going to be before you get here? And I said, well, we're in Glidden. I think we're an hour and a half away or so, maybe 2 hours if we count some other things. He said, come on up. Well, we drive up to his town where they live near Superior, Wisconsin, which is right across the, I don't know what it is, the lake or river, I'm not sure which it is, to Duluth, Minnesota. We get up there. And we're thinking to be a blessing to them, and immediately they are being a blessing to us. I look at Shelley. By the way, I want you to look at me now. This is not your religion. Last year, at the same time, my wife and I Kevin Bowder and Debbie Bowder met the same couple near the Apostle Islands. We went on a cruise with them out to the Apostle Islands in Lake Superior. That's Dr. Bowder and his wife's only time of meeting them. Last year, we all ran to catch the boat. This year, we go up to their house, we get to their house, and Shelley is in a wheelchair. But they're rejoicing. Because Chuck, first of all, has his wife. She didn't die. Second of all, they have seen God answer prayers and work in her life. Her right hand's working fine. Everything up here works fine. Unbelievably, this works 80%. Everything works from about here up now. And unbelievably, after 1 year, she's starting to have feeling in her legs. Unthinkable. Normally, it's either you have it or you don't. And she's feeling tingling and things in her legs. And they're rejoicing. So who got encouraged? All along the way, Chuck kept saying, over and over, we were here and God brought us here. And he had the dates and the times. He had taken some stones and put them in the road of his life. And those stones encouraged him because he could see what God had done in her life. The church has been magnificent for the family. They built a long ramp so Shelley can drive her little automatic cart up into the house. They took a back room and transformed the entire back room, big room, into a shower for her because she can't stand. Chuck has to bathe her. The only way she can go to the bathroom, she has to get in a sling, and it's all gravity. And Chuck has to take care of her. And he's rejoicing. Of course, he also rejoiced that we got to come and see them. He was very happy that we came, and she was very happy, and we were having a good time. But I could not equal Mike and Pam's visit. Chuck said to me 3 or 4 times, he says, Ralph, I'm so, you know, something like I'm happy you're here, but last week Mike and Pam came and visited, and they didn't do it like we did. I called them, and I said, we're in Glidden. It'll take us an hour and a half to get here. Mike calls and says, can we come and visit? Chuck says, yes, where are you at? Mike says, in the driveway. He must have told me 3 or 4 times. He was like, well, I said, I can't beat that. I mean, I can't just show up. He was so happy that people down here that haven't seen him much in 19 years came and visited him. I want to say this, folks. It's a great blessing when you see somebody that's had real problems. And they haven't been depressed in their problems. They have seen God work and work and work. I don't know what's going to happen to Shelley. Will she ever work? A walk again? Yes, in heaven, I know. Will she walk on earth? I don't know. But I will say this. Over and over and over, they have seen her come back from death, come back to using her right arm. Shelley even said this. I couldn't use my left arm. I don't remember what she said, but I was talking to somebody and I was trying to do this. And she says, I just did this, and then I went. She didn't know she could use her left arm. Folks, normally when you have a stroke of that magnitude, it's all or nothing. You don't come. Stones in the road. Now, all we're going to do this morning is walk to the fifth point. If you would look back in your Bibles, please, 1 Samuel 7 in verse 5. Would you look at verse 5? I just want to focus on one word. It says in verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to, what's the place? Mizpah. Or Mizpeh. I don't know how to say it. Mizpah is how I've always heard it pronounced in English anyhow. Verse 6, and they gathered together to Mizpah. At the very last line it says, and Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Verse 7, and when the Philistines heard the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah. I mean, they're in this place called Mizpah. I'm going to start in a very simple process and take you to where I want to go. Here's where we begin. Number one, life has many battles. When you read 1 Samuel, you get the impression these people are always at war. By the way, what does Mizpah mean? It's not a religious word. Mizpah is a Hebrew word, are you ready? For watchtower. Why were they gathered together at a watchtower? They were looking for the Philistines. Life has lots of battles, friend. If you're a believer, you might as well start with the fact that life is going to have lots of battles for you to face. You say, what are you going to face? I don't know. This week, I don't know why this week, strangely, either this week or one of them last week. Louis, I had contact with both of your daughters. Your oldest daughter, Wheezy, sent me a beautiful letter, best letter I've ever received. I know she's not related to you. She was just the mom's, but sent me a beautiful letter. And then your other daughter, which is in Belize, texted me on Viber and said hi and all that kind of stuff. I look at those beautiful daughters, and I think of your daughters, but we have many other great kids here. I don't know what kind of battles they're going to face. You don't either. I know this. A year ago, I would have never expected Chuck and Shelly Ells for Shelly to have had fungal meningitis and a stroke. Life has its battles. The Bible assumes this. The reason the children of Israel were up at a high point at Mizpah, the watchtower, is because they had to watch for the enemy. Life has many battles. I don't know what they're going to be. I will say this, and I'm thinking of Louis's daughters, but I'm thinking of all of our kids. I would do anything to prevent your daughters from ever having those battles, but I can't. Wheezy's out of your control. She's out on a ship now as an officer. Your other daughter's is she a sophomore already? Unbelievable. Life happens. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. It assumes that life has many battles. It just does. I'm going to talk about Chuck and Shelly Ells. From 1996 in the fall when they left this church to pastor in Lachine, Michigan, to around 2001, about 5 years, Chuck and Shelly had tremendous financial pressure. In that part of Michigan, there are no jobs. Shelly applied for a secretarial job, a menial job. 200 people applied for that job. She didn't get it. They couldn't pay their bills, couldn't afford to eat. In 2002 or so, they moved to Superior area to work to pay so they could have food. Then from 2002 or 3, Chuck worked a full-time job, and if that wasn't enough, he pastored two churches. He pastored two separate churches and worked a full-time job. Every time I called Chuck, he was exhausted. I said, when do you have time? By the way, folks, these are the battles you face. So you say, Pastor, I'm having such a rough life. Who isn't? Who doesn't? Life has many battles, friend. I don't know what they're going to be. I'm talking about people that sat here, good folks, went from financial disaster to he was working so many hours a week. Every time I talked to Chuck, he wanted to sleep while talking. He was that exhausted. And then Shelly had a stroke a while back. And then the younger daughter, a sweet young lady, good Christian, godly young lady, she had some major health problems. And then now Shelly has had this fungal meningitis and a stroke. It's like, do we ever get out of the battles? Life has many battles. Last week and the week before, my best friend called me and told me, says, Ralph, my wife's father is probably dying. We're heading back to Pittsburgh. Carrie had lost his mother earlier this year. She was 90-ish. She died. Carrie's dad had died many years ago. Marcia, which is the wife's mother, had died a while back. She says, the dad is dying. Are you listening? I want to pull my truck into your garage right now. No, into your bedroom. He said, Ralph, it's not going to be a good week. I said, what's... The father went to a Baptist church like this, was an angry, bitter, old Baptist. The number one characteristic of his life was greed. The number two characteristic of his life was covetousness. The number three characteristic of his life was, this is what we would say when I was a kid, he was tight. He wouldn't give you a nickel. And fourthly, he was a bitter, enraged old Baptist who sat in a fundamental Baptist church every week and held on to his bitterness. Carrie said, when we go back here, it's not going to be good. Marcia has one sister. There's just two girls. Says it's not going to be pretty. They go back. Marcia gets to see the father right before he dies. The sister, just like the father, doesn't even give them a place to stay. They go out. They come back. Carrie says, can you put the funeral off for a few days so my whole family can come? And the sister said, no. The dad gave me the right. I'm the executor. I make the decisions. We're having the funeral Monday. They get back for the funeral, and Marcia, and by the way, Marcia, I don't know how else to express this. I'm going to compare her to someone in this room. The young lady will get embarrassed, but she's like, Marcia is the kind of person, if you can be mad at Marcia, you're weird. It would be like being mad at Charlena. Can you get mad at Charlena? Now, you can get mad at me, but Charlena? Hold on. By the way, this is the battles you face. You know, I don't know why some of us think, woe is me, I'm the only one that has problems. They go back to the funeral, and they sit down with the funeral director, and the sister says, I'm the executor. I make all the decisions. And my dad said, Pastor Allen and his wife can't say one word and can't be a pallbearer. And that old, tight, greedy, covetous man wrote his daughter 100% out of the will. He disowned his daughter, a pastor's wife. You say, what kind of battles am I going to face? I have no idea. But I know this. I'm thinking when Pastor Allen woke up 2 weeks ago and I went out and saw him at Volo Car Museum, I'm thinking he wasn't thinking, my wife is going to go home to find out her father disowned her at death. That's carrying your hatred straight into the grave, and in my opinion, not to heaven. I don't care what church you went to. Life has many battles. Number two, if you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 4 and verse 1. I'm going to hurry through the next couple points. Life has many battles. You say, what are they? I have no idea. I have no idea what you're going to face. But I do know this. In this room, people have faced some pretty stiff battles. They have faced things that I never thought good people would face. And I mean, some of the folks are much better Christians than I am in this room and have faced some serious things. 1 Samuel 4, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. Same word, by the way. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they had joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. Number two, I said life has many battles. Number two, we don't necessarily win all the battles. The Jewish believers knew they had already been defeated by the Philistines one time. 1 Samuel 4, verse 10, same chapter. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. Verse 11, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Please look at me, friend. I'm an old guy now. I've experienced a little more life than some of you, not as much as some others. I know this. We are going to face battles, and we're not going to win every battle. 1 Samuel 31, can we turn there? 1 Samuel 31, we're still fighting those Philistines. They're still there. Philistines won't be an enemy much longer, but they're still an enemy now. 1 Samuel 31. Life has many battles. We don't necessarily win all the battles. You say, Pastor Warren, have you lost any battles? Are you kidding me? I'd like to be able to stand up here and say, I've won every battle. I've lost a few battles. I've lost some things I never thought would be a problem. Some of my best ideas have been my greatest losses. Welcome to life. 1 Samuel 31, are you there? Now the Philistines fought against Israel, but you say those pesky Philistines. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. Verse 6, So Saul died. Normally, friend, when the king gets killed, the war's over. Now Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all of his men, meaning those surrounding him, that same day together. All right, everyone look here. Number one, life has many battles. Have you experienced any of them? Number two, we don't necessarily win all the battles. Number three, I'm not going to try to prove this from this text. We can, meaning believers, can and do win the war. You don't necessarily win every battle, but you can win the war. I'll give you a quick illustration of American history. We fought two battles, one called the Revolutionary War, one called Vietnam. In Vietnam, in the war, on the major battles, we pretty much won every major battle. How do we do with the war? Revolutionary War, if you've ever read, it's really weird when you read, we pretty much lost every battle, but we won the war. My friend, I don't know. I just know this. As I move forward in life, I don't know what to expect. If you'd have told me 3 or 4 years ago, all of a sudden your dad would get cancer, it would spread to his brain, and he would die. Well, I knew he would die sometime, but I wasn't ready for it. And then you would tell me, your daughter's going to get married. That's not a battle. Excuse me, that's not my battle. Aaron, whose battle is that? I think when I gave you away, I said, what did I say? your battle's here. Now, I said something like, she's yours now, or something like that. Who would have known that my mother would have fallen down that very week and break her neck at C1 and C2 and be paralyzed in June, and for the next year and a half, by the grace of God, has come back and is walking and living on her own at 83? I don't know what your battles are. I want to say this. Life will have its battles. We're probably not going to win every battle, but we can win the war, and we do win the war as Christians. Number four, and this is where I want to go. Almost. If you look back at 1 Samuel chapter 7, would you look back there, please? And verse 12. We're going to spend some time here. I'm going to read a bunch of other verses. I have said, life has many battles. Number two, we don't necessarily win all those battles. Number three, we can and do win the war. And by the way, what I'm interested in this morning is not you being this grand, victorious person. I'm interested in you winning the war of life. I'm interested in you knowing what to do so you can move forward and win in this war of life. Verse 12. It says, and Samuel took a stone and set it before Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer. Means stone of help, saying, hitherto, to this point in time, to this place, hath the Lord helped us. Number four, we win the war through the Lord. Or if we say it New Testament-wise, we win the war through Christ. Friend, please look at me. This little word, ezer, help, is a normal Hebrew word. So I'm going to read some verses, and I'm going to have you turn to a few. I don't have time. I looked this morning, and there's like this many times that the Bible calls in one way or another God as our help. How do you win this war? How do we work forward in life? Because the battles keep coming. All kinds of stuff comes at us from all different directions. It might be finances. It might be health. It might be marriage struggles. It might be children's struggles. It might be family troubles. It might be people that ought to love you, disown you. All of this might happen. We win the war through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever you face with the help of Christ. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:55, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin. Psalm 46. Would you turn there, please? Psalm 46. I'm assuming you know this. Psalm 46. You know, when I was a young man and I said turn to Psalm 46, I would hear pages turning. Now all I see is people pushing buttons. We have to get some kind of device where when they push the button, I can hear it. So I know people are actually turning. Used to be I would know. Now I can't hear you. Psalm 46, please. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present Ezer, Ebenezer. He's our help in time, our present help in trouble. Verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall, verbal form, help her. And that right early. Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn here. If you will turn, stay here in Psalms. I'm going to read a couple verses from previous. Deuteronomy 33:26 says, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. It's almost like when things are dark and cloudy and all is lost, God comes riding upon the clouds. He is our help. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 18. The Spirit came on Amasai, who was the chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thy helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. 2 Chronicles 18:31, and it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. Now, if you want to turn forward, Isaiah 86, verse 17. Not Isaiah 86. There aren't 86 chapters. Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hopen or helped me. Psalm 118, verse 13. Psalm 118, verse 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord hath helped me. My friend, you say there's lots of battles come at us, and they come at us from the sides and the front and from behind, and there's just lots of different battles that going to strike at us. And we might not win every one of these battles, but we can and do win the war, and we win the war because of the Lord's help. He's the one that saves us, keeps us, protects us, guides us, strengthens us, and keeps us moving forward. By the way, if you don't have the Lord as your helper, good luck. By the way, everything's great when you get the promotion, but when your wife has the stroke and you are being her nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since last October, you tell me how the battle's going. Let's look at the great passages you know of. Isaiah 41. Would you look there with me? Isaiah 41. Would you look there with me, please? I'm just giving a smattering of these verses because there's many that talk about the Lord helping us. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, most of us know this verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, for the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will Ezer, help thee. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. Chapter 49 and verse 8. Chapter 49 and verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. Now, I want you to turn back to 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Because my goal, we're now coming to where I want to go. I must begin with where a text begins and our life begins. Life has many battles. We don't necessarily win every single battle. Boy, I wish we could. I wish we were 1,000% hitters, but we lose some battles along the way. Maybe we lose the battles with our emotions for a while. Maybe we lose the battles with our temper. Maybe we lose the battle with character. Maybe we lose relationships. But we can and do win the war. We win the war through Christ, through the Lord. He is our helper. Now I'm going to come to where the whole sermon is. We continue to win the war. We continue to win the war through our memorials to or memories of Christ. How do we continue? All right, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to. When I was 18 years old in the United States Navy, going to school, Washington University, going to medical technology school, I was on my own. I had to win. Look at me. I had to win some battles. Kika, you're going to college next week? This week. Now, you're fortunate. You have a brother that's going to be in school pretty close to you. You have loving parents. You can come home. You will come home. But I got news for you, young lady. You're going to be in battles. Now, I'm not in those battles anymore. The battles I had to fight at 18, 19, or 20 are a little bit different than I'm fighting at 58. What do you think? At 58, all of a sudden, you start realizing your parents are dying. You start realizing that you're getting older. Well, my wife is not, but I am. You start realizing your health might not be the same for the... Who knows what your health is going to be like between 58 and 68? What about your mind? I have a fairly good mind, but my mind could be Frenchie's mind. He's 88, I'm 58, 30 years apart. You know, it could happen. By the way, I'm being funny, but I'm not being funny. You don't know the battles you're going to face. By the way, Kika, the same battles that I won back then, I won through the Lord. Hold on. Somewhere along the line, I learned a principle that we win and continue to win through memorials to and memories of what the Lord did for me for 18, 19, 20, 24. And as I move forward, I have, look at me, I have lots of stones in the road. Do you? I have lots of times where the Lord has helped me, and I'm not just facing this wondering, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I assume the same Lord that helped me here and helped me here and helped me here might just help me here. Amen? Your life's going to come down to your memorials, to your memories. And some of us, well, I'll get to that. Let's look at 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Because this is the key text. And remember, Ebenezer's there twice, split apart. It says, then Samuel, notice the exact statement. He took a stone. He chose a stone, Eben, and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it. So he named it. He chose it. He named it Ebenezer, stone of help, saying, he did third thing to it. Look up here, folks. He did three things. He chose the stone, maybe four things. He chose it. He set it up in a location. He named the stone. And number four, he invested meaning in that stone. By the way, what's a stone? It's just a stone. But it's not a stone to a person that has realized at this point in time, God did this. He invested meaning in that stone. So when the children of Israel came back by and saw that stone, they could remember Ebenezer. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. He's helped us through all of this to this point, and He will help us on. And my friend, well, I'm going to say it, so here we are. I'm going to take a drink of water first so all of you can relax. There's only two kinds of Christians. There are those, I'm going to assume, that are Christians who stay the same for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. You were asleep when you were born and you're still asleep. I'm going to say this and I want to be clear. Frenchie, turn this up a notch. Every defeated Christian I have ever met has memorials also. They have memories. I don't care who you are, if you're a defeated Christian, you have memories too. You have your stones in the road. And when somebody bumps into you, you start talking about your stones. They're just not Ebenezer, stone of help. Look at me, they're the stone of bitterness.
27 years ago, so-and-so did something to me. 15 years ago, I lost a job.
Oh, you have your memorials? Hey, up here, folks. Down there won't help you. We're going to talk about, if when you walk out of here this morning, you will either learn to establish your stones in the road that propel you on, or you will go back to your same filth, which is bitterness, failure, anger, and all the junk. I have never met a person that doesn't have stones. But the problem is some people that say they're Christians, they have stones of bitterness, failure, hatred, rage, whatever. And when you talk to them, Tim Durham, come up here. And when I say talk, I don't mean, hi, how are you, God bless you. I mean this, and I'm going to make this physical. When you really bump into them, all their memories start pouring out. The difference is all of their memories are garbage. They have erected their memorials too. And they have a little sign. Here's where Atong was mean to me. Here's where... And they just start spewing it out. And then they wonder, why am I always bitter? Why am I always depressed? Why am I always down? You haven't learned how to put your stones, look at me, your stone of help in the road. This isn't rocket science, folks. Any Christian has those events. And when you face life, yes, the Lord is my helper. But it's not just my helper out there. He's been my helper all along. And constantly I can point back to those moments when the Lord helped me. Now, I told you you're going to have a Bible. Joshua chapter 4. Would you look there, please? Joshua chapter 4. I'm assuming you know this. These stones, these aren't the first time stones show up in the Bible. I'm only going to point out two times, friends. Stones show up a lot. You say, why? Because a stone is something permanent. And if you would place a stone someplace and you would put it in a specific place and then you would name it and invest it with meaning, you could keep coming back to that stone and remember, this is what God has done. And if this is what God has done, that means this is what God can do. Joshua 4, verse 20. They have crossed the river. They have crossed the river into the promised land. How did they do so? On boats? God opened just like he opened the Red Sea, he opened the river. And they passed through on dry land. And they brought 12 stones. Read verse 20. I don't have time to read the whole passage. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. He chose them, put them in a specific place. He says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over on this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you passed over, as the Lord did, your God did to what? Do you already understand what's happening? When they passed through Jordan on dry land, they put stones. They also already had some stones from the Red Sea. My friend, this morning, you will put stones and you will name them and invest them with meaning and say, this is what God has done, or you will be one of those flunky Christians that goes from one emotion to the next. You have no place to get back to. Your memories are of your emotions and who hurt you and who wronged you and how the world is out to get you. Really? No. Red Sea, the Jordan, some stones to remember the Jordan as they remembered the Red Sea. Let's continue reading what it says. Verse 23 again. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua chapter 24. Turn there, please. Joshua 24. Pastor Warren is not trying to teach you any kind of weird thing. By the way, I want to say this. If I bump into you, you already know who you are. You cannot lie anymore. The stories that come out of you are the stones in your road. And I will say this. We all have, since life has many battles and we lose some battles, we can fixate on losses. We can fixate on what people have done to us. We can fixate on how this person didn't give me a promotion. This person was out to get me. Really? As a Christian? Or we can start choosing some stones, placing those stones, naming those stones, investing those stones with meaning from when God has been our helper. He is the one that has helped us. Ebenezer, stone of help. Joshua 24, verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Another stone. 1 Samuel 17, would you look there? 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, please. This is not stones, but it's the same concept. Are you all kind of getting the drift of what I'm talking about? Is this a hard thing? Now, 1 Samuel 17, we're going to look at a little bit of the story of David quickly. Friend, please look at me. Do you reckon you're going to have a few battles in life? Yes or no? You know what they are. I can look around and tell you what other people have fought, but I don't know what they're going to be. And I'm going to say this, we're not going to win every battle. But we can and do win the war, and we win the war through Christ, through the Lord, through His strength, through His help. We continue to win the war through what? We continue to win the war through those memorials that we make. Other people might not know about them. They are things that were at a particular time where we can metaphorically choose a stone, place the stone, name the stone, where every time when we face an unknown future, we have something behind us that propels us forward and onward. It's what God has done. 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. Goliath, the Philistine, wants to come out and fight. And David wants to fight him. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. By the way, when you face the future, Kika, I love you, you know that. I don't know, you probably have confidence because you have a good mom and dad, but when I was a young person, I didn't know if I was going to be able to handle some things. How do you know what you're, and everybody's telling you, you can't do it, you can't make it, and here the king is saying, you don't want to fight Goliath. Look what he says about Goliath. He says, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him. David was stupid. He went out after the lion and the bear and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion in the past, and out of the paw of the bear in the past, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, folks, here it is. How are you going to win the war? You're not winning the war because you have the right emotions. Your emotions aren't going to take you anyplace. What's going to help you is if you can get someplace and get along with God and remember those times, events. Maybe it was your salvation. For me, I got saved at age 9. I know I got saved, but it wasn't a spectacular event. I was a kid. It began everything. For me, I got to carry my Bible. For me, it started November 23rd, 1975. Right here at Great Lakes, United States Navy. God in one day interrupted my stupid. I made promises to God. I would never, look at me in the eyes, all the young people, I would never go back to the pig life. It will be 40 years and I have never gone back to the pig life. And let me say something. This is what I know. You say, what does that do for you? November 23rd, 1975, some of you weren't even born. Frenchie was already 80 at the time, but some of you weren't born. What does it mean? Hear me. It's a day. It was an event. I give it meaning because that was the day between living like a pig and living like a Christian. And I know something. Whatever I face in the line of moral choices, God gave me victory then. He can give me victory. Hello? In the future. What else? March, April, 1981. Getting out of the United States Navy. Going back to college. Going back for my second bachelor's, first master's. Going back to college to be a pastor. God gave me a job 2 months before I got out of the United States Navy. Took me all the way through college. It was a good job, close to where we live, close to the college. And may I say this, God gave me that job. He also gave me that job partially through this young lady right over here, Pam Nowakowski in those days. Why do you keep talking about that? Do you not get what that is? That's a stone that I have chosen where God helped me. I have named it, invested it with meaning, and when I move forward, I know something. I'm not as nervous as some of you are just like this all the time. Why are you so nervous? Has not God done that for you? What are you looking at, yourself or those memorials, those memories? I can remember many events like that. I have some in this Bible. They don't mean anything to you. Most of you don't know this person. This was taken, Tim, can you read the date? You get your glasses on too. What date?
July 29th,
1990. One of our couples had twins. She was pregnant with twins. She had tried to have children. She had always lost her children. She had twins. She delivered them early. One of the babies died. We thought the second one would die. That's when they brought that baby to church. Look me in the eyes. That's one of the stones. Do you understand? I know what God can do. Do you? I have another stone in here. It doesn't mean anything. I took over the church in St. Louis. They were in bad financial shape. We decided to have a special offering to pay off some bills. Normally in that church, when you had a special offering, people robbed Peter to pay Paul. I kept telling the people, we're going to have this special offering. I was hoping to raise $5,000 plus our normal offering, which was $1,500 a week or so at the time. I remember when they handed me this thing, it says building fund, and the normal offering was $2,252.69, and the special offering was $8,452. And I want to say something. You're looking at a guy that knows what God can do. Now, here's where the action is. Are you ready? Today, some of you will stay asleep. I get that. That's your life. Some of you will stay bitter. By the way, the reason a person stays bitter is because they have some stones too. They have built mountains out of nothing. So-and-so wasn't nice to me. So-and-so doesn't smile at me. Really? That's what you remember? Some of us will take some stones. So when I march forward, I have all, look at me. God whipped the bear, he whipped the lion, and you know what? He can take care of Goliath just fine. Stones along the road of life. Do you have any? When you leave here, you better have those stones, because if you don't, when the battles happen, you fall back to the thing you always fall back to, which is your emotions. The very place that no help exists is your emotions. There's only one place that help exists, in the Lord. You better have your stones. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I asked